Going to be reading from the Old Testament, something that should be familiar to all of us, Exodus 20, 1 through 21. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, 'You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, or we will die.' Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin.' Then the people stood at a distance while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was." The Ten Commandments. Rules to live by. I don't know what your opinion of Phil Donahue is, whether you think he's a rigid moralist or not. On a show sometime back, one of his guests was a man who had written a book on sexual addiction. The thesis of the book is that there are people in our society who are addicted to various kinds of inappropriate sexual behavior, just as other persons may be addicted to drugs or alcohol. Often in the program, he described problems such as promiscuity, child molestation, obsession with pornography, and such. The doctor noted that many of those with severe problems in these areas had themselves been sexually abused as children. Indeed, those who have been abused as children are more likely to experience problems not only with sexual addiction, but drug addiction and other forms of socially unacceptable behavior. Phil Donahue asked at the end of the program if the problems we are facing as a society are not likely to grow greater rather than diminish because of the breakup of so many families. And think about that. That in the future we could see more problems than we could possibly imagine of people who are maladjusted, who are addicted because of their home environment. The doctor answered to Phil, "We are becoming an addiction-inducing society." There is a growing consciousness in our society today, that our society is going out of control morally. There's also a growing realization that a morally out of control society is a sick society. And that's not just a value judgment on my part. Look around you. You see what's happening in our society today. And we are becoming more and more aware of the terrible things that are happening around us. The addictions, the abuse, the killings, and all these awful things. Ted Koppel was giving a speech at Duke University, and usually when you give those speeches at universities like Duke, you kind of stick to the program. You don't veer off in any way, but he kind of moved away from the neutral stance and gave a bit of a mini sermon on morals. He said, "We have actually convinced ourselves that slogans will save us. Shoot up if you must, but use a clean needle. Enjoy sex whenever and with whoever you wish, but wear a condom." Then he gave a sharp rebuke. He said, "No. Not because it isn't cool or smart, or because you might end up in jail or dying in AIDS ward, but because it is wrong. Because we have spent 5,000 years as a race of rational human beings trying to drag ourselves out of the primeval slime. In its purest form, truth is not a polite tap on the shoulder. It's a howling reproach. What Moses brought down from Mount Sinai were not the 10 suggestions. There's a growing consciousness in our society. We are out of control. We've got to do something about it. Out of a covenant relationship with God established with Moses was given a set of commandments. We call them the 10 commandments. They tell us there is a difference between right and wrong. The first four of those 10 commandments, if you'll notice, have to do with the relationship between us and God. The remaining six have to do with relationships between us and each other. God deemed it more important for us to know how to relate to one another than to relate to Him. It was important to Him how we deal with one another. You shall not kill. You shall honor your mother and father. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal or bear false witness. And you shall not covet. That's how we deal with each other. Those 10 rules are about human conduct. And the issue today is that we are often ridiculed because of those 10 rules. We've taken them out of our schools. We've taken them out of our government buildings because, heaven forbid, we have rules to live by. And as we've slowly taken these things out of our society is going downhill fast. Jessica used to tell me a little joke she heard. She says, "What's this basket I am in, and where are we going?" Get the picture? If we don't do something fast, we're on a rocket ship towards hell. Our society is dying around us. And the fact that we are persecuted and ridiculed about it is because we are Christians. Christians are supposed to be different than the people around us. We are supposed to stand out. We are supposed to guide society. Try and make changes. Not fall into the temptation of the rest of the world. Do you know Napoleon could speak four languages but didn't know the word no in any of them? Any little thing that tempted him, he was there. There are a lot of people in our society today that cannot say no to temptation. Rudolph Giuliani, everybody's seen him in the news lately, but back when he was a U.S. attorney back in about 1987, in New York, they arrested 106 government officials in New York for corruption. He says, of those 106, they were all offered bribes, but only 105 accepted. The 106th person turned it down because he didn't think the bribe was big enough. Our society has a problem. I don't know if you've ever heard of the philosopher Diogenes. He's known for taking a lamp in search of an honest man. And someone jokingly said that when he got to New York, somebody stole his lamp. Our society is in trouble. It's out of control. We don't have control over it anymore. For 25 years, there was a tenement building in Pittsburgh, and the tenants could not figure out why they couldn't control the temperature in their apartments. in the summertime when they tried to make things cool and they turned the thermostat down, it got hotter. In the wintertime when they were trying to get heat and they turned the thermostat up, it got colder. Till somebody finally figured out that the thermostats were okay, but whoever installed them had put the faceplates in upside down. That's how out of control we are in our society. We've got to do something about it. Reader's Digest did a story a few years back. They took a car randomly to 226 automotive garages. And all they had done was pulled one of the spark plug wires. Out of those 226 garages, 74%, 167 of them, repaired something that was not broken or did nothing and charged $500 for it. What is happening in our society? Where is the integrity? It's all about making money, no matter how you have to do it. Lie, cheat, steal. We are a sick society. A lot of people blame it on the 60s when social morality began displacing personal morality. We started doing it because the other guy did it. And it was okay. Just because somebody else is okay with it doesn't mean you have to be okay with it. I'm sure each one of us, our mother has told us at a time or two, well, if he jumped in the river, would you jump in after him? Just because somebody else is okay with it doesn't mean we have to be. Divorces have soared. Out of wedlock births have gone out of sight. Ethics has gone out the window. The political tide in our nation, it's more about winning than it is taking care of the American people. We've got to get away from that. We've lost transcendence in our society, and we are morally declining. We've got to recapture not just the Ten Commandments, so those are a great place to start, but we have got to recapture what is right and what is wrong. Paul in Romans 1:25 teaches us that people who worship the creature rather than the Creator give themselves to unnatural passions. And that's what's happening. Instead of worshiping the Creator, we are worshiping the creature, things around us. We have to remember the Creator. But too many people have forgotten all about that. Philosopher Alfred Whitehead once wrote, "The sense of greatness is the groundwork of morals. What is it that gives us greatness? It is not that we were created in the image of the divine, that he breathed his own breath into us and his own spirit. It is that we have lost the sense of the transcendent. We worship the creature rather than the creator." And with that loss of transcendence, we've blurred the difference between right and wrong, and acceptable and unacceptable, and appropriate and inappropriate. Most people in society are wandering around in a moral and spiritual fog. They don't know what to do. And it's sad. Years ago, some psychologists did a study. There was this big playground, but they had sectioned it off with a fence, and the little children were inside this fence. They decided that, well, let's take the fence down and let them have the whole playground. Let's give them some more freedom. So they took the fence down. But what they discovered was the kids weren't playing in the rest of it. They were huddled together in the middle of the area they took the fence down. They had lost their security. And as soon as they put the fence back up, the kids were out playing again. We need security. We need to know what is right and wrong. We need to know that God is guiding us. Thomas Hobbes gives a metaphor about a highway lined with hedges. The king, he said, has placed hedges along the road, not to stop travelers in their journey, but to keep them on the right path. And this isn't some new moralism I'm talking about. This is about the Ten Commandments and what is right and wrong. Things that we should and should not do. Dr. Peter Ray Jones tells of a lady who had that kind of love in a church that he once attended. There was a Wednesday night service where they would ask the congregation about who else do we need to be praying for. And there was a gentleman in the congregation that always said, "Don't forget Mrs. Nielsen." And it's just a coincidence. And he said this went on for years, every Wednesday night, "Don't forget Mrs. Nielsen." And when Mrs. Nielsen died, he finally figured out why. This young man who was impaired, had poor health, and all of his life had had it rough. He liked to dress in clothes that were too fancy to be out playing in. So when he got out with the other boys, they roughed him up, were mean to him because of his physical disabilities and because he liked to dress a little bit fancy. And they would chase him down the sidewalk, and he would get to this certain store, and he would dash inside. In the back of the store was Mrs. Nielsen. He would run behind her and hide behind her skirt tails, shiver and shake. And she would turn around and she would comfort him, take away his anxiety, show him love and care. He says, now late in life when she is bedridden and shut in and cannot come to church, John always remembered, "Don't forget Mrs. Nielsen." She was a person who had a touch for what hurt others. She loved others. And in a way that we should all love others. We all need our Mrs. Nielsen, somebody that we can go to, somebody that we can trust and rely upon. When I went to licensing school quite a few years ago, one of the things that they told us was you need a bosom buddy. You need to have somebody that you can go to and openly talk to who will talk back to you and comfort you and make you feel good, help you, tell you, no, you shouldn't be doing that. We all need somebody like that, somebody to help us. Tony Robbins, who's a motivational speaker, wrote a book called Awaken the Giant Within. He tells a story about a young lady who was jogging through a park. And as she's jogging through this park, a group of boys start sprinting towards her. They grab her, drag her off into the bushes, beat her senseless, and rape her. Fortunately, she survived. Now, I know you're thinking, wow, this is just another one of those gangs. No. This was a group of boys that attended private school. They were well off. They were little league players, kids who were in the band. They were not driven by drugs or any racial motivation. They could have killed her. And their reason for doing it, they wanted to have some fun. They called it wilding. And that's sad. That is a morally corrupt society. But then on the other side of that coin, you remember a few years back, there was an airliner that crashed into the Potomac River Bridge and wound up in the Potomac in the middle of winter with ice floating around everywhere. And there was a man out in the Potomac that kept handing life preservers to other people and saved lives. And by the time the rescue helicopter got to him, he couldn't stay afloat anymore and sunk under the water and died. This was a man that not only just lived by the Ten Commandments, this was a man that knew what was right and wrong. This was a man that loved others and was willing to do anything, including give his life for others. That's what we need in our society. The Ten Commandments are essential. We should follow them. But that's just the beginning. There's other things that Jesus taught us in the New Testament. He said, I didn't come to change the law. I came to reinforce it, essentially. Help you understand it better. What God really meant by what he said. And the main thing with God, with Jesus, was love. Love one another as I have loved you. Care for one another. Provide for one another. Know the difference between right and wrong. Even the respect that you would expect in this country has gone. And I don't care what you think about President Trump, whether you like him or not. He is the president and he deserves respect. But do you see him getting that? No. And I can tell you from a personal experience that as a minister, you would think a minister would get a little bit of respect. I had a lady out in front of the church, in front of everybody, get right in my face and chew me out. And I thought to myself, I would have never done that to a minister. Maybe in private, but out in front of the church, in front of everybody. We have lost our morality in the society we live in. We don't know from right and wrong anymore. We don't know what's acceptable and unacceptable. We don't know what is respect in this country. We've got to get our moral compass in the right direction. And the way to start that is with the Ten Commandments and with Jesus' teachings in the New Testament. You have to know what's in this book to know how to live your life. If you don't read it, you won't know. You got to know what's in there to be able to use it. You got to know what's in there to be able to fight against what's wrong. Jesus never got violent with the devil when he was being tempted. He simply used the Word of God. And the devil ran off. And that's what society should be doing. We should be knowing the difference between right and wrong. We need our morals back. And it's up to us as Christians to make that happen. Instead of letting these things change and not saying anything about it, we need to say something about it. It's like the proverbial frog that you put in a pan of cold water and start turning up the heat. You'll cook that poor frog to death. And that's what's happening to us in Christianity. They're taking away a little bit at a time so we don't even think about it until sooner or later you won't be able to get through those front doors. And that is going to be a terrible day. We need to think about where we are as Christians, who we are as Christians, and where we're going. And we need to do something about the lack of morality in our society today. Amen.